Dean McMillan. I am interviewing Larry Hogue about the junior firefighting program that he started at the Lakeville Hose Company back in the 70s. Today's date is June 25th, 2024, and this is number 430. What is your full name?
Lawrence Taylor Hogue.
And what is your birth date?
1/10/1949.
Where were you born?
Sharon Hospital, Sharon, Connecticut.
And what were your parents' names?
Norman and Edith Hogue.
Do you have siblings?
One, Janet Wynn.
How did you get involved with the Lakeville Hose Company? Lakeville Fire Company.
Well, I knew a lot of the members. A lot of them were friends with my father, so he kind of encouraged me to get involved with it. Had to wait a little while till they opened up the town a little wider because we were out of their district for a few years until they changed it.
Did firefighting interest you as a young boy?
Yes.
When did you actually join?
June of 1970.
And how old were you?
I was 21.
And I asked you why you joined, and you said that you liked people, and you liked action, and you liked learning.
Yep.
Is that still true today?
Yep.
Good. What kind of training did you have at the time?
When I started, I had none.
And how?
A garden hose.
With a garden hose. How did you get training?
Well, we did some in-house training, and I did training at Burrville in Torrington, Connecticut, and Poughkeepsie, New York, and Millerton, New York.
What's the other one? I got Poughkeepsie. What's the other one?
Millerton, New York.
Okay.
Every time they had an instructor come out, they'd invite us.
Oh, good.
So I did most, 90% of my training was in New York City.
Starting the junior firefighting program?
Well, there was always kids at the firehouse with their parents and so forth, and they bring their friends along, and of course, kids are in love with fire trucks.
Oh, yeah.
So I said, geez, might be a good idea to get these kids down here, see if they want to learn how we do things, and it was a great success.
Yes, it was, and it's still going, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, do you know roughly when your program started? I said on the tape 70s, but...
I'm not sure the exact year.
But late 70s would do it?
I would say yes.
Okay.
It's a long time to think back.
I know. Oh, I know. What was the purpose of the program?
Well, the purpose was to train these people, see if they were interested in getting into the fire service. And as they got older, hopefully they would join the fire company. And several of them stayed on into the fire department when they finished with the junior program.
And didn't you tell me that there were a couple of them that went on to be
Two went on to be paid firemen. They're still in the paid fire companies.
What was the age of the kids you were training?
I believe it was 12 to 16.
And it was all boys at the time?
At that time, yes.
Right. How many would be in a group?
We probably had, I would say, 6.
It's a good number.
Yeah. That way they get personal attention.
Oh, sure. Do you have any idea when the girls joined in?
Probably when Kirsten, I think Kirsten was in the first group, if you can remember when you did your interview with her.
Oh, I can. Oh, yeah.
I believe she was one of the first girls that got in the program.
Probably, and she was really gung-ho on it, really gung-ho. When your program started, did other local fire departments join in, or did you do it solo?
We did it solo. It was quite a while before other companies saw that, it was a good opportunity, and then they started adding it to their curriculum.
have a son, Russell, who I know quite well.
Yeah.
Was he in the junior firefighting program?
I don't think he ever was in the juniors.
You don't? Okay.
I think he just joined when he was old enough, he could just join our company.
And it would be 21 or is it 18?
18.
18 now.
Yes.
And I know that the person was in it because I did the interview on her.
Yep.
And so I can check the date. Who's running the junior firefighting program now?
Let's see, Bob Flint.
Jen Farwell still doing it?
She isn't at present. Her job's taken up a lot of her time, so she had to step back for a little bit.
Okay.
I'm not sure who's helping Bob Flint. But.
Okay. But Jen was doing it when I was working with her.
Yes, yes.
I know. I get to the firehouse, Jen's there, and she introduces, "Oh, yes, this is my fourth grade school teacher." I'm like, "Oh, jeez." No, that isn't the curse. Oh, Lordy. What's Kirsten doing now? She's in Hartford, isn't she?
No. Right now, she's working for Steve Gomez with Invisible Fence.
Oh, good.
She's had different jobs here and there, but she's now back living in town, her and her boyfriend.
Good.
Because they're very active in the service.
Yep.
Here, and we want to find living quarters so they'd be close.
Good. Is she still involved in firefighting?
Oh, yeah. She's down there all the time.
Good. Why do you think your program was so important?
For the juniors?
Mm-hmm.
Well, at that time, we had 50 members. I had to wait to get in. And it started to dwindle a little bit and a little bit. So you've got to keep getting young blood in. So that was one of the main purposes. And they're really smart at that age.
Oh, yeah.
If you ask them to do something, 9 times out of 10, they're going to complete it.
Oh, sure. Because they want to.
Yes.
They want to. What specifically did they learn?
Basically, what I taught them were all the equipment was and all the trucks. Because they're limited as how much they can do.
Oh, yeah.
Per the regulations.
Mm-hmm.
But they could help on drills and so forth with guidance. They couldn't
yep.
be on their own. But they all knew where all the equipment was and all the trucks. If they were asked to go get something, they came back with what you asked for.
Now, you had a good story that you told about a couple.
Yeah, I had a fireman go for it, and he brought back the wrong item. So I sent a junior, and he brought back just what I asked for.
That's important.
Yes. I was very pleased.
Yes, both of you were pleased. That's the proof of the pudding. It really is.
Well, you get older, you forget, you know.
Yeah, I know. Now, you told me about some important fires that you remember. And I'm going to ask you, would you tell me what you remember about the Interlaken fire that was in 1971?
That was a very big fire, started in the middle of the night. We called in, I don't know how many other fire departments, but it was a major fire. It was hard to get to. There had been reconstruction inside the building, so burning inside wall and, you know, inside walls and hard to get to. And so we were there all night and all the next day, and it was very tiresome.
If I remember correctly, it didn't burn to the ground.
No.
The shell was there.
Yes.
And the Belcher fire that happened in May of 85, was it just the barn? Was it cattle?
The whole main barn burned. This was, the third attempt to set that barn on fire.
Was it arson?
Yes. And they lost all the cows. Tried to get them out. The ones they did get out, they had to put down. So they were buried right on site. Peter Lorenzo found a good spot and took care of proper burial for all the animals. And there again, we were there for that night and all the next day. And we probably had to go back a few times and wet down, but.
Oh, sure.
It was a big barn and.
Oh, I know.
There's nothing much. So.
No. Their business, their lives.
Yep.
I was here then, and I vaguely remember it, but there again, it was tragic, absolutely tragic. Another example of arson was the town hall that same year in August. Tell me about that one.
Well, I was out back on a hose line for a while, and there was a gentleman helping me that was part of the ones that started the fire. I didn't realize it until the next day or the day after.
Okay. Oh my.
But he felt bad. He himself really didn't do it. He felt really bad.
Yep.
So he stayed there to help. But that was a devastating fire. There again, it was all reconstruction inside. We couldn't get to it. The chief got mad at me because we switched trucks with another driver. He gave me heck for that. And we're lucky the one truck that was out on Main Street in front of the town hall, they moved it just in time because all the pillars collapsed and it would have went right on the fire truck.
Oh.
But that was a very devastating fire.
It was. I tried to get information from Laura Johnson and Pat Gomez, who at that time were the town clerk, assistant town clerk, and it was such a bad fire that they totally blanked. I did get an interview on Peter Oliver, who was building inspector at the time, and then I did Tommy Payne, and I got Tommy Payne on the town hall fire. I tried to cover what I could. Now, the Twin Lakes Beach Club fire, that one was August 29th of 1990. How did that start?
That was human error. The chef in the kitchen had a grease fire, and the last thing you do is throw water on grease.
Oh, yeah.
He did that, and it just engulfed the whole kitchen, and it was all over.
Were you there again, a night and a day?
No, this was in the afternoon. It was toward the end of our work day on the town garage. And we responded there very quickly, and it was fully engulfed when we got there. If you're ever at the firehouse, you can see a picture of it. It's totally engulfed.
Yep. That one I have seen in the picture. And how about the post office out in Taconic? I'm not sure when that happened, but what do you remember of that one?
That was a post office and general store at the time. I'm not sure where the fire started, because there was an apartment upstairs as well.
Yes.
But it was, that was also, it had quite a start on us by the time we got up there, since it was quite a ways from the firehouse.
Oh, yeah.
And it was at night, so it took a while to get there. But it was like 22 degrees below zero that night, windy, which hampered our operation to get it under control. But we finally got it under control. We were trying to save all the mail if we could. And once we got it knocked down and under control, we were told we had to wait there until the Postmaster General came to collect all the mail, whether it be burnt, soggy, or whatever shape it's in. So we huddled in our panel truck to try and keep warm.
Now, I think all of the others were either spring, summer, or fall. So this was a winter fire.
That was a winter fire, yeah. Yes, because especially if you're on an incline, you got the ice to deal with, and you can't walk anywhere.
Yeah, and that's out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
That one particularly.
We do carry sand and salt on our trucks, so we have, well, you know, at least a walking path.
But yeah, but
it's still very difficult.
Yeah, it would be, and particularly with night and wind, it's really hard.
We had another one to Joe Lars up in Taconic.
Or
yes. Actually, it was Weetog Road.
Yep.
And that was another cold day. That was at first thing in the morning. And we got there quick. I drove one of the fire trucks, and we got it under control. and we're just getting ready to leave, and I was the last truck out, and they stopped me and said, we got a hot spot. And I was lucky enough to get water just before the truck froze up. It was that cold. So we doused it really, really good. I said, I got to get this truck back in the warmth.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
Now, are you still in the fire department?
Yeah, 54 years.
What are some of the changes over that 54-year period?
Well, luckily we don't have major fires like we had back in the 70s and up. That's kind of calmed down due to all the codes and regulations in place. The main thing now is chasing alarm systems for various reasons. 90% are false alarms.
Oh, yeah.
And now people are getting apps on their cell phones for an automatic crash notice. If they drop their cell phone, the fire company and the ambulance gets toned out for an accident. So you go and find their phone for them, and then you go home.
That must be so frustrating.
It is, and it discourages the guys from responding. With the price of vehicles and gasoline and everything today, the guys aren't just going to keep running around, you know, for no reason.
Of course not.
And you can't blame them.
Now, I think you said that when you joined, you had to wait 2 weeks after you put in your application.
Yeah, there's a waiting list.
Is there a waiting list now?
Oh, God, no. No, we're about 15 people shy of our 50-man roster we set up.
Of the 35 that are on the roster, how many are actually active?
Probably 12.
All right. Medium age is what?
About 58.
Yeah. It seems to be that way with almost all regulations.
Yeah, and the younger ones don't come as often because they're working two jobs to try and be able to live around the area.
Oh, yeah. And if they've got kids, there are so many.
Yeah, they're busy with their kids.
Yeah.
It's not as easy to get away today. The training takes up a lot of time.
Yeah, what I was going to ask you. The training does take up a lot of time.
I think firefighter one is 250 hours. Then you have to do firefighter two and a pump course and hazardous material course.
Now, that hazardous material is a new one. Yeah. Because I've done interviews with various firefighters, and their training is different, and it gets more and more so as they are on. Do you have to go away for your training, or do you bring someone in?
No, you have to go to Torrington, to the fire school in Burrville.
So you have to go to Burrville.
There's a few that we do at and station, but it's far and few between. It's mostly in Torrington or Burrville.
Okay. Now, Kirsten went to Rocky Hill.
That was a female firefighter program.
Okay.
Shelly Carter put that on. She's still doing it. She is now a chief in a fire department somewhere. She's worked her way up to chief.
Good for her.
When she was doing Kirsten's program, she bought all the things needed for that program out of her own pocket.
She says,
my husband's always hollering at me.
Well, it's something like a school teacher.
Yes. Yeah, sad. Shouldn't be.
You want to do a program and there's no money in the budget, so you do it yourself. The kids enjoy it. The kids appreciate it.
Yes.
But it's what you do. If you're really, as you are, really dedicated to what you're doing, you want to do a good job. And if the powers that be aren't going to help you, well, we'll do it ourselves.
Yep.
Yeah, that's important. Is there anything else that you'd like to add before we close the interview?
No, I think that covers most of it. I don't know what's going to the future's going to bring because we don't have too many knocking on the door to get in. And, you know, we get a couple of guys retiring each year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's getting pretty tough.
Well, I'm an optimist. I'm an optimist. It'll keep going because I think the town really appreciates what you firefighters do.
But all the surrounding towns are all in the same shape.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
90% of any serious calls, it's mutual aid right away. So we get enough to cover the trucks and enough manpower to operate them when they get there.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
It's your baby now. No.